WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline is ESPN's Adam Schefter. He's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Cullman. It's electric. Mr. Schefter, do we have you? Are you there?
Christian, Andy, you got me. How are we doing?
We got you, and thank God, not a moment too soon, because as you know, lots of rumors swirling around here in New England. Let's go ahead and start with the main one coming from all different angles here. We've been hearing this, whispers about it, and some even reports that Gerard Mayo may be more on the hot seat than we thought he was. Are you hearing anything about this? Does it seem as though maybe ownership is starting to sour a little bit on Gerard Mayo?
Well, I saw on social media, for whatever that's worth in this day and age, yesterday I read that Matthew Stafford was being traded to the Vikings, which was news to me. And today I heard that sources have informed people that within the next 48 hours, Gerard Mayo will be removed as a head coach. Now, look, they haven't played well. They're not winning. I don't know how the Kraft family feels about Gerard Mayo now, but I can tell you that Gerard Mayo is not being released in the next 48 hours. That's not happening. He's coaching Sunday's game. And again, I think that in this league, you have to win. You have to perform. Otherwise, there's going to be scrutiny. I don't know what his long-term prognosis is, but to these rumors floating around on the internet that he's going to be fired here this week, that's not happening.
Do you think there could be other changes? I know around here there's been speculation. I actually wonder about what Ben McAdoo does, because he's sort of the assistant head coach, has the most experience on the staff. Changes to play caller, we often see that with teams that are scuffling, offensive or defensive play caller. Any word or rumblings of changes of that nature?
There could be. I have not heard that. I'd have to check specifically. And I had not heard that anything will change. But look, you know, today Kevin Stefanski said that he's going to turn over the play calling to his offensive coordinator right now, Ken Dorsey, and he's going to call the plays. So I think when teams don't win, inevitably they start looking for other ways that they could improve their effort and come up with solutions to try to find a way to win. I don't know where New England's at on that, but I do know Gerard Mayo's not getting fired this week.
You mentioned the losses, which have obviously piled up, and some of them have been ugly in nature. Is that a bigger issue right now, or is it everything else that's going on in terms of players popping off in the media, social media, Gerard kind of calling his team soft and then backtracking after Belichick took some pot shots at him? It almost seems like the stuff unrelated to the game day action is as big an issue as the losing is.
Well, that's always the case for a head coach. That's what being a head coach in the National Football League is about. There is a big acclimation period for a lot of coaches who step in and don't realize all the responsibilities that come along with it. And I know it sounds simple, and you're like, how could that be? But all of a sudden, they're getting knocks on their door around the clock from people with various issues that they didn't have to deal with always as a coordinator. And I think that there's a learning curve involved with a lot of these jobs. Now, again, still it is a bottom-line business. It's wins and losses. You've got to come through there. But there is a learning curve to all that comes along with this job. And I would guess that the Patriots, Gerard Mayo, they're realizing, wow, this is larger than we realized. Like, you know, when you have a guy in place there, you don't think about it always. It just kind of runs itself. But it's not that simple, and I think they're starting to realize that this year a little bit.
Yeah, and listen, I agree with you. I don't think anything's happening this week, and I wasn't even referring to that. I saw that same thing going around. I wasn't even referring to that. But there has been some smoke to the fire of the idea that the Krafts, who made such a big show at, as you know, I mean, they made a big show of their commitment to Gerard Mayo. Robert Kraft has said glowing things about him over and over again. The idea that he could be a one-and-done after all of that seemed impossible at the beginning of the season, and now it seems like that's maybe in play.
Well, again, what I would say is when you say it seemed to be impossible at the beginning of the season, name a coach who ever has been hired at any point in the National Football League where he's been hired where people are talking about he could be one. It's never come up. Nobody expects that with a coach. And then the season begins and the real games get underway and you begin to assess. Now, again, I want to be very clear. I have no idea whether the Krafts would even ponder that. That, to me, would go against their nature. It would surprise me because I think that they felt so strongly about Gerard and they felt that way for a long period of time. But, you know, you'd have to see a lot to move on from a guy after 1 year. So So while I never rule out anything in this league, that still would surprise me some. But the fact that these questions are coming up now, seven games into his coaching, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Because if those questions are coming up now after seven games, those questions are only going to increase. And it's part of a function of the day and age we live in where there is so much pressure, scrutiny, criticism on everybody in the game. But, you know, it's like when fans start questioning whether a quarterback should be holding his job, it's only a matter of time before he loses that job, it seems like. And so now you're starting to get these questions starting earlier than you would think, but this is the NFL, and that's how it goes sometimes.
Adam, it's starting to seem like this is going to be the trade deadline of all about wide receivers. We had Devontae Adams. We had DeAndre Hopkins. Is Cooper Kupp going to get traded? And am I an idiot to think the Patriots should make a phone call?
I don't. You know, listen, again, anything's possible. And I think if the I think if the Rams got an offer that they found suitable, I think they'd be open to listening to it. But they're not trading him just to trade him. Like, they're not just looking to throw him out the door like, you know, the Titans got back a conditional five that goes to a four for Hopkins. That's not getting it done for Kupp. And the problem with Kupp is he's older, he's pricier. What team's going to do that? Give me a team that you think would be a good fit for Cooper Kupp, because people brought up the Chiefs when the Chiefs never were going to be able to afford his contract. They had $5 million of cap space before the Hopkins move. They couldn't fit Kupp in. The Rams, I don't believe, are paying any money down on his contract. They like the guy too much. So give me a place that you think would make sense for Cooper Kupp to be traded to.
Buffalo, another weapon for Josh Allen. They already got Amari Cooper. Why not load up and go for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. They traded for Cooper, and they did so in part because the Browns had already paid down his contract, and he's counting it was like $800,000 because they didn't have a lot of cap space, so they can't afford Cooper Kupp. Give me the next team.
You're really putting me on. I'm assuming they're not going to trade him in division to the 49ers, who've had a boatload of injuries at wide receiver and illnesses.
Contract. Next team.
Let's see. How about the Jets? Keep loading up the Jets.
Oh, that's great. I mean, let's trade for another receiver. Let's make more headlines while we keep losing games. That's brilliant. You know, here's the thing. It's fun. It's great fodder for your show. It's great speculation to have all these fantasy football conversations leading up to the trade deadline. It's just not practical. It's just not. Now, to me, the only way I see Cooper Kupp getting traded would be if there's a contending team, a team that's winning, that suffers a major wide receiver injury. Now, you might say Tampa right now, which they did.
Yep.
But Tampa likes its young guys. It's going to have a different attack. Can't really afford Cooper. Not happening there. So I remember when Carson Palmer was sitting out that one year, and there was not a home for him. And then the Sunday before the trade deadline, Jason Campbell goes out, and I think it was his knee, tears up his knee, season ends, they're winning, and they pull a deal at the last moment for Carson Palmer. To me, that's what you're looking at with Cooper Kupp. You're going to need somebody that just loses a receiver, that's desperate, that's going to be willing to pay the price, because the Rams aren't looking to trade Cooper Kupp, and they're not just giving away Cooper Kupp. So that's how it's going to go.
All right.
I don't see it getting short of an injury. Yep.
Okay, just before we let you go here, the Chiefs obviously making this move to bring in Hopkins. That's a team that's undefeated despite Patrick Mahomes not having a great season here so far. Do you think that this is a triumph of Andy Reid or the defense, or what exactly do you who do you give it to when you give it to the Chiefs for the amazing start that they're off to here?
Well, I think you look at the GM, Brett Veach, his assistant was from New England, Mike Bongazzi, Andy Reid. They're all a part of this, right? Like, they continue to make moves, and they've lost three receivers this year. They lost Hollywood Brown in the preseason. They lost Rashee Rice in the regular season. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster last week. They need receivers. Here's DeAndre Hopkins available essentially for a conditional fifth. Why would you not do that when the Titans are paying down some of that salary? So, like, it's a low-risk move for an unbeaten team. It just makes sense. And that's what you need at the trade deadline, a move that makes sense. If it doesn't, then it's not getting done. And there's a lot of moves right now that don't make sense, but I'm sure there'll still be some other trades that get done before the deadline.
All right, and we'll be looking for you for all that inside info. Adam Schefter, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Guys, have a great week. Thanks for having me today.
All right,
thanks,
you Adam. Too. That's Adam Schefter, ESPN Insider, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. And if you thought that was a good guest hit, wait until you hear what's coming up next. It's the guest corner here from 3:45 to 4 o'clock as Brian Scalabrine, part of NBC Sports Boston's Celtics broadcast alongside Drew Carter, will make his 2024-2025 debut here on the Afternoon Show. That's coming up next.